Okay, hi everybody. This is Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 16, and we are picking up in our discussion of the of the table on page number 35. Yes, and we were simply delineating the numbers and the astrological factors and other facts which can be found in relation to this table. We had covered up to the fifth manifesting creative hierarchy. This is an interesting hierarchy and very, very important. It is the tenth numbering down, the fifth of the manifested creative hierarchies, and the third numbering up. We can see it has a great deal to do with the mind, with the numbers 5 and 3, and also with the will, with integration and with power. The name is said to be the human personality, the crocodiles, and Makara, the mystery. But from another point of view, this fifth creative hierarchy is the hierarchy of solar angels. And we have to wonder whether this particular hierarchy is dual in the sense that part of it represents the personality or the crocodiles, and part of it represents Makara, or the actual Agnish Vatas or solar Petris, who have descended sacrificially to aid the human being. Its ruling sign is Capricorn, and Venus is the hierarchical ruler, Venus the planet of the solar angels. Its color is indigo, which, interestingly enough, is the esoteric color of the fifth ray, and so is a color deeply associated with Venus. And if we look at the notes in the C major scale, we will find that the note A, which is correlated with the fifth ray, has associated with it the color indigo. Icha Hashakti, the will to manifest, in this case, the will to manifest a human personality through which the higher triad can express. Its element is fire, which is interesting because it relates it up here to the first creative hierarchy under Leo, whose element is also fire. We have a relationship between Leo and Capricorn. DK discussed the lion and the unicorn, but in this case, Leo is the superior hierarchy, apparently. It operates on the mental plane, and we do not necessarily see a division here between the higher and lower mental plane, although we do see in this picture that it is divided. So does this particular hierarchy manifest on both the higher and lower mental plane? And as it manifests on the lower person, lower mental plane, should it be considered the human personality associated with the crocodiles? And as it manifests on the higher mental plane, if it does, should it be considered the hierarchy of solar angels? Now, the higher mental plane is not the true plane of the solar angels or Agnishvatas. It is the plane of service, we might say. A truer plane for the Agnishvatas will be the Buddhic plane, and perhaps a still higher plane. They were, we learn, initiates of the previous solar system, human initiates in the previous solar system, and are initiates of all degrees. Does this mean that they rose in their higher nature from off the cosmic physical plane? Were there five planes active in that previous and Brahmic solar system? And if so, do they rise to the very top? Do they have a place on the cosmic astral plane? See, one of the things we have to look at when we look at this table of creative hierarchies is that the plane given for a particular hierarchy is its plane of service expression and not the plane of its monad. Now, if we find that monads all dwell on monadic subplanes of a particular cosmic plane, then we find the human monad dwelling really on the second subplane, though its plane of expression will be the Buddhic plane. This inclines us to believe that the superior hierarchies to the human have their monads not on the cosmic physical plane at all, but on the cosmic astral plane. Let's see if I can... I think what I should have here is this should be made available. Let's see, Fellowship of Cosmic Fire. And, yes, diagrams. And chart number 5 should perhaps always be made available. Because on it, okay, now, do appear. Looks like it's going to appear any minute now. On this super cosmic physical plane or list of 7 cosmic planes, we could imagine that higher hierarchies than the human would have their monadic presence not on the cosmic physical plane, but here on the second level of the cosmic astral plane or on the second level of the cosmic mental plane and so forth. A being such as a solar logos or even a planetary logos, which has its causal body on the second, third, or fourth sublevel of the cosmic mental plane, would have its monadic point on the cosmic monadic plane. And thus my statement that the planetary logoi of all kinds plus... the planetary logoi of all kinds and solar logoi are in creative hierarchies that are much higher than the creative hierarchies which we are studying. So anyway, back to this, we will have much of real enigma appearing as we study the fifth creative hierarchy, because it is a hierarchy of sacrificial service, a hierarchy of fallen angels who have, in a way, fallen into the dense physical body of the solar logos for purposes of service, though their real plane, the plane of their higher expression would not be so low, would not be found within the dense physical body of the solar logos. And their higher principles altogether could well be found on the cosmic astral plane. I'm thinking about what it takes to become a solar angel. We have to journey on the path to Sirius, where we are taught the methods of solar angelic function. And that path to Sirius, the fourth cosmic path, leads to the cosmic astral plane. Well, what aspect of the human being who is becoming a solar angel is going to the cosmic astral plane? Well, you have to be a 6-degree initiate to travel. And if you're a 6-degree initiate, you are a fully aware monad, polarized in your monadic vehicle. So it becomes pretty obvious in that respect that the monadic level of the fifth creative hierarchy is indeed located on the cosmic astral plane and not on the cosmic physical plane, the way the human hierarchy of monads is located. I hope that that is somewhat clear. I mean, this position of the solar angels, at least in some expressive aspect, on the mental plane represents a very great sacrifice, a fall, a descent, far below their true status achieved in a previous solar system. Their numbers, okay, 10, 5, and 3, and this number 5, of course, correlates them with the fifth grade of hierarchy, which is almost liberated. So they are considered prototypical in relation to the fivefold Dianes. What I'll have to do, actually, is get out a list of names of the solar angels, which are very revelatory. I have such a list somewhere. I'll take a little break at some point and pull that out. We go on to the sixth creative hierarchy of lunar lords. Their number is 11, and, you know, that will immediately relate them to the number 11 of unity through effort here on the unmanifested or on the cosmic astral planes. We can relate numbers up and numbers down, and we will find a connection. We will also find a connection between the fifth grade of hierarchy, ruled by Ray 5. The numbers here are exactly the same. It's the third creative hierarchy. It is unmanifested. Its ray is ray 5, and its number up is 10. And you will recognize that those are exactly the same numbers, 3, 5, and 10, as are found in this fifth creative hierarchy, which is manifested, 3, 5, and 10. So the lines of relationship between these lives can be analogized, or the lines of relationship will reveal a special kind of connection, which is not easy perhaps to understand because we simply don't understand the functions of the higher hierarchies, but those are lines of connection which can be traced. And because the sixth ray is here, the sixth ray of the lunar lords, therefore the sixth ray of the Gemini hierarchy will be implicated. And notice the idea of desire. Desire for duality is stimulated from the Gemini level of the cosmic astral plane. And we have the lunar lords below, who are ruled by the sixth ray, and also powerfully by the principle of desire. They are known as sacrificial fires. Sagittarius is suggested, Ara, the altar, which is one of the constellations associated with Sagittarius, is also suggested. The burning of the lunar vehicles in sacrifice upon the altar, which orients them in fiery aspiration towards the soul. The hierarchical ruler is Mars. The color of Mars is red, and this is one of the colors of the sixth ray, along with rose color and light blue, but it is, say, a cruder color, and relates this Martian sixth ray to the first ray, red. Kundalini Shakti is its power. It is a power of aspirational ascent through matter towards the altar, towards the crown. Energy of matter form. And its nature is water, interestingly, very much like the water of the atmic plane, suggesting a relationship, which we know does exist, between will and desire, atmic will and astral desire. The numbers here are 11, 6, and 2. It's interesting that the 11, in a way, sums to a 2. So we certainly have the soft line rays particularly involved. This is just, at first, a superficial look at the numbers and some associated ideas. Probably everything we say can lead more deeply into exposition. The Tibetan perhaps suggested the gathering of these details. Perhaps it is Alice Bailey who had to gather them. I don't know whether he dictated this chart or not. He seemed to indicate that it had been gathered from a number of sources. Anyway, the purpose is to transform the activity of the desire of the Lunar Lords into the energy of love. And this, the hierarchy, the number 11, interestingly enough, the number of the initiate, the hierarchy undertakes. This is the number of the sign Aquarius, 11. And under the hierarchy, the transformation of desire into love does occur. In a way, what we have is the number 6 moving to the number 2. Eventually, as the usual status of the astral plane, its usual actuality, its apparent reality, is negated, and the energy of love is substituted. He will say more, but not so very much, about these hierarchies. There is, and this is interesting. You know, where do these Lunar Lords come from? We can say that they are forms of life that are found initially on the moon chain, and that when there was a moon chain failure and the moon chain lord, in a way, was subsumed or gathered into the field of expression of the earth chain lord, with both of them now active upon our fourth, upon and within our fourth chain, then some of these forms of life that were indigenous to the moon chain manifestation were moved or transferred into our fourth chain, where they would undergo their evolution. And they have a special evolution in relation to the animal and the human kingdom. So they are perhaps a little bit out of place when it comes to fourth chain lives. And this we will see when we look at the Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 844. We will see here that lunar petries can enter human evolution, but they are not exactly in line with the animal, vegetable, and mineral evolution of our particular chain. They have come in, as it were, from the side, and they will be... their destiny is to become men. Let's see if I can make this a little... The zoom is just a little bit big, so if I bring it down a bit, we might be able to read the whole thing. Their destiny is to become men. Now it's a little bit small for you, I think. Let's try 190. They will, in their higher grades, pass directly into the animal evolution. So here they, you know, there's no true place for them. They will actually, in their higher grades, pass into the animal evolution, which apparently is below them. The animal evolution of the next cycle. And so, eventually, individualize as human beings. Their three higher grades will become animal men, and the lower four will contribute to the quaternic forms of the men of the next creation. And what we have here is an evolution which has come from the moon chain, which has a chance to integrate into our usual method of rising into the human kingdom, namely passing through the mineral, vegetable, and animal kingdom. So the lunar lords ruled by Mars have a very close connection to the animal kingdom, which is also ruled by Mars. And this form of subconscious life, should we say non-individualized life, will become animal men and will be individualized. And let's see, the three great animal men, and they will find their individualization, yes. And the lower forms will take forms of the lunar petries of the men of the next creation, which will be perhaps a higher type of petri expression, and they eventually will individualize as well. So really, on our particular chain, the Earth chain, we have a two within one process operating. A lunar process, because it was incomplete, continues to operate within the fourth chain. And this contrast between the lunar tendency and the fourth chain tendency is causing a lot of conflict and a lot of friction and a kind of cleavage which must be solved. It's essentially a cleavage between the third ray, which represents the lunar expression, and the fourth ray, second ray, which represents expression in our fourth chain. This has to be bridged, and one of the ways of bridging it is to master, is for us as human beings, to master our lunar tendencies so they do not simply repeat themselves as they did in a previous time to no good end, to a chaotic end. They have to be subdued and regulated, brought under Saturn, brought under the law, brought under the spiritual will, which is our monadic and soul intention. Okay, that was a little little diversion, I guess. And just pause here. Okay, we will then continue with our examination of this chart. The 12th creative hierarchy, which is really the 7th, ruled by the 7th ray, has naturally a relationship to the Cancerian hierarchy, which is almost liberated and also ruled by the 7th ray. Interestingly, all of these hierarchies are part of what's called here the 7 states of being under karmic law. Karmic law is particularly administered by the energies of the planet Saturn, which in a way rule the entire cosmic physical plane, Saturn being a correspondence in some sense to the permanent atom, the physical permanent atom of the Logos. It also has a chakric correspondences, and trying to sort out what is the difference between a permanent atom correspondence and a chakra correspondence is a demanding exercise. Anyway, all of these are under karmic law, and when we reach the cosmic astral plane, we are apparently liberated from that Saturnian influence. These are called elemental lives, or the baskets of nourishment. They are called the blinded lives, and I think we can think of them as the life of matter. These are the lives expressing themselves through the molecules, through the atoms, of all greater and lesser kinds, perhaps through subatomic particles and so forth. They are the tiniest lives and need to be aggregated into form according to higher directives which serve higher energy patterns. Interestingly, they are under a sign, Aquarius, which related to Uranus, which is veiled by the moon, has much to do with atomic energy and the power that is latent in matter. Of course, Aquarius would appear again 12 cosmic subplanes up would appear again on the second level of the cosmic astral plane. But that's a whole different study, difficult to verify. The moon is the ruler, and interestingly enough, its color here is violet. Now, the violet color will associate it with Uranus, the seventh ray planet, and Uranus is also the major planet of the etheric planes. The etheric planes in a systemic sense and the etheric planes in a cosmic sense. So we would say then that Uranus, the violet planet, is veiled by the moon, but the moon has a lot to do with the color violet as well. Its particular rhythms suggest the seventh ray, and we certainly measure time and cycles by the moon, the seventh ray. And the Tibetan gave the color of Cancer, which is ruled by the moon, as the color violet. We are told here that it has no kind of energy, but later we will discover, when the Tibetan is talking about this seventh manifested creative hierarchy, that there is a type of life energy associated with it. So that's what I mean. This table was gathered. It's a very good table, but it's not a table which the Tibetan dictated in a systematic manner. So we will have to judge whether there is any type of energy here at all, according to what he says when he discusses the seventh creative hierarchy of the manifested kind. We do remember that the moon at this point is said to have no radiation whatsoever, only a kind of negative energy which arises from its own decomposition. Maybe we shouldn't even call it an energy. So the idea of no energy rather fits with what the Tibetan says about the moon per se. But I think these elemental lives, there is the presence of Buddhi at the heart of every atom in the solar system, and I do think that presence will be found within these tiny lives as well. These lives are particularly related to the plane of Earth. Now, when we talked about the four elements, we looked at the etheric physical plane as associated with the element Earth, astral plane obviously with water, mental plane with fire. Air is not specified under the Buddhic plane, but perhaps it should be. And then, as well, it would correlate with the fire air of the Logoic plane. The Buddhic plane is in a way a very solar plane, because the Christ energy is expressing there with fair expansiveness. And that is a solar energy, and thus there is a connection with the plane ruled by Leo, namely the Logoic plane, where the divine flames under Leo are expressing. These are two solar planes. In a way as well, we could say that the monadic plane is also a solar plane. Well, that was a kind of a brief enumeration of the numbers that are found. We could draw lines, we should draw lines from every number to every other similar number and try to trace the connections. But before we can really do that, we have to have as clear an idea as possible as to the function of each one of these hierarchies on each one of these levels. And I would say that most of us, and I include myself here, do not have that kind of specific knowledge using the fifth ray, which would make it even more profitable to draw the lines of relationship. Though sometimes drawing lines of relationship and seeing the analogies which result from those lines can clarify the specific function of a specific group on a specific plane. So, you know, there's a lot of research that is needed here, researching the kinds of energies which go into each one of these hierarchies. I was just looking at Ichaha Shakti, probably terribly wrong in the pronunciation. But this is a power of I-ness. I couldn't help but notice that the word Ich in German means I, although it's probably a very tenuous connection. And we know that the petals of the egoic lotus on the higher mental plane are imbued with a quality of energy which makes consciousness realize I-ness, which turns consciousness around upon the center from which the consciousness arises, and gives the feeling or the sense of, I don't know quite how to say it, of being a distinct center. And then that distinct center begins to manifest as a distinct personality center, which is very limited by that sense of I-ness. In other words, it becomes separative. But eventually there is a return to the I-ness of the higher mental plane as the soul infuses the personality, and then the quality of group consciousness arises, and freedom is on its way through these higher shaktis, these higher energies. So there's so much correlating to be done here, and I think it's only possible to scratch the surface, especially, you know, if I were writing a book on this subject. Well, this turns out, I suppose, to be my astrology book, because it's always so hard to find time to write in great detail when there are many responsibilities. But if I were writing, I suppose I could be more exacting in clarifying the nature of these factors and their relationships. But somewhat speaking, these books, there will be perhaps less precision along those lines, though ideas may emerge which others can follow and elaborate. All right, so we've looked at the table of unmanifested creative hierarchies, or at least they're manifesting on the cosmic astral plane, but not on the cosmic physical plane, along with one intermediary hierarchy which appears to be manifesting on both planes and is located probably in the etheric nature of the logoic plane. And then we've looked at the seven manifested creative hierarchies. Usually when you have the numbers 7 and 5, 7 are sacred and 5 are non-sacred, but everything can reverse itself, and this is a point in relation to these two charts. The 5 above are the most sacred, and the 7 are the least sacred. I pointed the same thing out when we dealt with the 4 and the 3. Sometimes 4 is more represents states that are more sacred than the 3, and sometimes 3 more sacred than the 4. So it's all a question of context, and you have to turn things in various directions in order to understand which has priority. The whole question of priority, solving the problem of priority, or that which comes first and that which is highest, in a hierarchical universe, is of extreme importance. When we have to know what is greater and what is lesser, and so often our glamours, our distorted desires, arise because we mis-evaluate priority. We do not know that which is of the highest nature and that which is lower than it, and thus we begin to desire that which is lower and exaggerate its importance as if it were prior and hierarchically in a higher position. This is a great mistake, but if Libra can begin to operate in our consciousness in the right way, and Capricorn too, and Venus too, we will develop a true sense of proportion, and we will thereby develop a true sense of values. Venus is involved in the question of values, and we will desire that which is higher over that which is lower. And then our desire nature will be hierarchicalized, and thereby will not be afflicted by the problem of glamour. So many of us right now are living in a distorted world where we seem to desire that which is of lesser value, and we are convinced it is of greater value. And only, maybe in the words of Master Moria, cosmic perception will wear away this distortion, just as he tells us it will wear away irritation. In other words, it will overcome the exaggerating tendencies of Mars, and we will see in the light of true proportion. Okay, now the following tabulation, and that's the one which we have been examining, showing some astrological relationships in connection with the constellation of the Great Bear, the Pleiades, or the Seven Sisters, Sirius, and the Seven Solar Systems. And I have a feeling that what we're going to have to do is put this tabulation of two sets of creative hierarchies together with the tabulation on page 50 of Esoteric Astrology, which will truly begin to connect some of these creative hierarchical factors with the constellations which were just mentioned, which are the great sources. And I think you see it, we'll see it here. Treatise on Cosmic Fire. How did that happen? We want, not a Treatise on Cosmic Fire, we want Esoteric Astrology on page 50. Yes, that's what we want. And you see this tabulation number 3, how it deals with Sirius in relation to astrological factors and to the fifth creative hierarchy, which is the almost liberated hierarchy. You see how the Great Bear is related to Aries and Libra and to the sun veiling Vulcan, indeed, and to the second creative hierarchy, the 11th. It's under Aries, but at the same time, we cannot leave out the hierarchy that is correlated with Libra, which is the 8th counting down, or the 3rd manifested creative hierarchy. And since the sun is veiling Vulcan, we have to draw a line of relationship to the 1st manifested creative hierarchy ruled by Leo. Interestingly enough, with the Great Bear, you know, if you look at the Dipper of the Great Bear and lower your eyesight just a little bit in a parallel manner, you will come to the constellation Leo. And when it comes to the Pleiades, we see them related to Gemini and Sagittarius, and to the Gemini hierarchy, yes, and therefore to the fourth liberated creative hierarchy, which is ruled by Gemini, but then we would also have to bring in the lunar lords, which are ruled by Sagittarius. I think you see what I mean. Here is the Gemini hierarchy. It is the fourth, ruled by the sixth ray. But if we look for the Sagittarius hierarchy, we come down here to the 11th. Interestingly, with that number 11 being quite a bit like Gemini. Anyway, you see how I'm suggesting that we draw lines of relationship in order to interpret. All the above energies, we're reading from page 50 of Esoteric Astrology, and we will, of course, visit this page, are called into play as far as man is concerned during the major initiations and upon the path of initiation. So, in other words, Sirius, the Great Bear, and the Pleiades are beginning to be sensed following the third initiation, and only minimally so at that point, because they mean a lot more to still higher initiates than they can mean to the third degree initiate who is just becoming a disciple in relation to the Sirian regime, or to the star Sirius, or the Sirian logos. And then we have lesser energies, magnetic energies, giving solar fire, and these are the seven solar systems. And one of my, and I think what I'm going to say now is important. You know, there's been this ongoing debate as to whether the seven solar systems represent vast constellations, which are chakras, and the one about whom naught may be said, or whether they are simply not constellational, but are in fact seven solar systems organized into one constellation. Now, there's no question about it. If we look here, we see that the dynamic energy, the energy of will and of the monad, is connected with the first three, but the energy of soul is connected with the seven solar systems. It is magnetic energy. It is hierarchically a lesser energy. It is not the kind of superior energy you would expect to find in the great chakras, all seven of them, as far as that goes, of the one about whom naught may be said. But you would expect this magnetic energy to be found in relation to solar logoi. This is related to the Taurus hierarchy, this energy of the seven solar systems, and also to our humanity. We are supposed to become a station of light. Our human hierarchy is to become a great station of light. So our Scorpio hierarchy is definitely related to Taurus, as it is expressed through Mars. Now, whether these seven solar systems should be looked at in terms of a solar plexus response or a sacral response, this still has to be discussed. But what I'm trying to express is that they are hierarchically lower than the three great constellations. And if you normally talk about seven solar systems being seven great constellations, which are chakras and the one about whom naught may be said, you would include the three that are above. But obviously the three that are above are distinct from these seven. So I think there is a good case for looking at them as expressing soul energy and not the dynamic energy of the one about whom naught may be said, but rather a type of energy which is found in one of the chakras of the one about whom naught may be said, namely a cosmic logos in which our sun and our solar logos finds its place as a heart center. All right, that's a little bit of a technical thing, but again, it's a question of prioritization and hierarchicalization. What is higher than what? What is lower than what? In a way, of course, everything's equal because there's only one being manifesting through different dimensions. But when we get into the level of categorizing the manifestations of the only one thing, we do have to hierarchicalize. We do have to do that. All right, now let's see where we are taken. What I did here was I took a little trip over to page 50 of Esoteric Astrology because I saw that it was pointing out the connection of these constellations and the seven solar systems with the information that is given in the two creative hierarchy charts. And you wouldn't have that without the map on page 50. So we went to page 50 of Esoteric Astrology to detect some of the relationships suggested. Now, you can obviously tell that you can tell that we're doing this a little superficially, because you could spend the rest of your life in this incarnation and maybe others on these tabulations and associated charts, because they lay out in tabular form, in graphic form, truths which are barely suspected by us with our human mind. All right, so we have studied page 34 and 35, which are the tabulations of creative hierarchies, and now we get into the text related to those tabulations. So He gives some general statements about creative hierarchies, and we will have to be slow and cautious in trying to divine some of the implications. The hierarchy of creative powers is divided esoterically into seven, four, and three within the 12 great orders. Now, here we're talking about the manifested creative hierarchies. Manifested creative hierarchies with four above, which are self-conscious, and three below, which are not yet individualized. When we come to the hierarchy of solar angels, the idea of a dual hierarchy is very much pronounced here, because perhaps there are certain lives here which are the lower part of this dual hierarchy, which are not yet self-conscious, but the higher part, which are the solar angels, the Agnishvatas, the solar Pitris, all those names are certainly self-conscious and far beyond that. They are group conscious, they are God conscious, they are initiates of a previous solar system. So I think what he's doing is dividing these manifest creative hierarchies into four groups which are definitely self-conscious, and into three groups which are not. But as I say, the solar angel is in an ambiguous position, and why this should be a dual hierarchy, one symbolized by the upright pentagram and the other by the inverted pentagram associated with black magic and the concrete mind, all of that has to be clarified. All right. Now, 12 great orders. Now, a hierarchy of creative powers. What does that mean? What are the creative powers? This is creative hierarchies of monads. That's what they are. The lives expressing within these hierarchies are monadic lives at different stages of prakritic immersion, or immersion into matter. Essentially, as monads, they are all equivalent, because there is only one monad in all of cosmos. A monad is a monad. It is pure being. But in terms of the sheaths aggregated around the monad, these are sheaths of relatively greater or lesser density, and that is what seems to define the status of a monad. Although all monads are equivalent, they're all on the level, as it were, they're all equal, all monads are created equal. Not, all men are certainly not created equal. They are created equal in the monadic sense, but they certainly do not manifest equally. So these creative powers are hierarchies of monads, and of course, this continues with hierarchies far beyond, with divine orders beyond the 12, which we are now considering. Why are we considering only 12? Well, we can barely make sense of 12, so I'm sure the Tibetan necessarily draws a limit there, because otherwise we would be into useless speculation as far as we are concerned, and maybe we're there already. All right, three hierarchies are in this greater cycle, and what might that be? It could be the cycle of the solar logos in this incarnation, perhaps, are of profound significance. And if we say profound significance and think of the creative hierarchies as systemic, solar systemic beings, then it has to be profound significance to the solar system, not just to man. The fourth, or human creative hierarchy, that's our creative hierarchy, which is probably the means by which the tendencies of the previous solar system, which are very Brahmic and material and mental, are brought together with the tendencies of our present solar system in which the divine ray of love wisdom is to emerge. And the two deva hierarchies. See, we have to, as I said before, some of these are, what can I call it, mannish, mannish hierarchies, or having to do with man as an entity and all of the types of men there are, from the tiny human being all the way up to the heavenly man and the grand heavenly man and the super grand heavenly man and on and on. There are these hierarchies which relate to man and the hierarchies which relate to devas. And the fifth and the sixth, so four, five, and six, they are contiguous hierarchies, are of profound significance. Probably the deva hierarchy, the fifth, the hierarchy of solar angels, the great redeeming lords of love, are that magnetic force which is drawing together the hierarchies which are connected with the moon, and the hierarchy, like the hierarchy of human beings, fourth grade, which is supposed to pursue a Buddhic second solar system line of development. So somehow the fifth grade of hierarchy stands between them. There are these lunar lords which are carrying on a tendency not only from our previous solar, not only from our previous chain, the moon chain, but from the previous solar system. It's a definitely third ray tendency, the numbers 3 and 6 being very related. So that's that operates on the astral plane, but the human hierarchy is meant to eventually operate on the Buddhic plane, and we know the astral Buddhic connection, and eventually the astral plane is to be suffused by the pure love of the Buddhic plane, and perhaps a man whose soul ray will one day be the second ray, expressing the sixth principle of Buddhic love, will be instrumental in helping that connection exist between these lower lunar forms and the Buddhically tending forms of our second solar system. And meanwhile, the solar angels are acting as a bridge, because they have this full Buddhic love, and they're teaching humanity how to possess it and how to express it. And one day we will, as it were, take over for the solar angels and be able to be the bridge ourselves. We are under the number 4, and that is the bridging ray, and we will help to make a bridge between the lower tendencies inherited from the past and the tendencies which should be cultivated in the present. We will help the whole process move from the primordial ray of intelligence to the divine ray of love, wisdom. That word divine is very important. It usually indicates that the monad is involved, and the monad, we realize, is on the second subplane, connecting it with love, wisdom. So three hierarchies, anyway, are of the greatest significance, and certainly of the greatest significance to man. Now, is this true throughout the solar system? Well, it's certainly true upon our planet, and we have to, since creative hierarchies are really a solar systemic expression, we have to think of them as having a systemic significance, and that the things are said, which are said here, apply, of course, to our planet, and maybe in a special way, but in a general way to the entire solar system, to the life of the solar logos. What I think I should do, it strikes me, as I should gather some references about the creative hierarchies, and perhaps read through them as supplemental material, because we're not really going to do this for Cosmic Fire. My commentaries on Cosmic Fire are perhaps 9/10 completed, and probably I have written with greater clarity than I can speak, so there probably isn't much sense to try to repeat verbally what I've already written there. But there is sense in gathering certain significant references which we can append to what we are reading. And in a way, this whole section on the creative hierarchies is taken out of Cosmic Fire. DK must have thought it was very important when considering the larger astrological picture. The fourth creative hierarchy, we are told, is in reality the ninth, and that is why it is called the hierarchy of initiates. Well, do we understand what he said there? Because nine is the number of initiation. And if we look at this, we will see the number nine is there. That's our human hierarchy. And the ray four and the number four, well, 944, those are the numbers, and they are there. The Buddhic suggestion is very strong, and the idea of being a true initiate in the second solar system is powerfully present. Maybe there were not nine initiations in the previous solar system. Maybe there were not even seven planes, per se. Maybe in the previous solar system there were five planes, or at least five active planes. In the present solar system, seven. In the future solar system, nine. Those are the numbers of the three solar systems, 5, 7, and 9. 5 and 7 and 12 and 9 making 21, and then the unity making 22, which is the somehow a very powerful number for our solar logos, the 2 and the 2. 2 plus 2 equals 4. In a funny kind of way, our solar logos might have a fourth ray monad, or at least fourth ray submonad, and his second ray soul and second ray personality, 2 plus 2, can combine and merge into his fourth ray monad. Though eventually I do think he will be 2, 2, 2, and his higher monadic ray will be the second, eventually. Although perhaps in the next solar system what we'll be dealing with is 2, 2, 1, because his personality ray will probably be the first ray. So the fourth creative hierarchy is in reality. Well, reality means you have to include the higher hierarchies and begin numbering from those higher hierarchies. So if we number from the unmanifested hierarchies and count down to the human, we will get the number 9. And it will show that we human beings are destined to complete. We are destined to complete 9 initiations within the fourth creative hierarchy. DK tells us not all of us take those 9 initiations, at least not immediately, at least in association with our planet. And then not all human beings take initiations anyway. Many human beings rise with the rising of the kingdom itself and do not forge ahead on the arduous and independent path of initiation. But eventually we will be elevated to the point where we will be able to refuse our connection with the cosmic physical plane, at least in this solar system. Now, if we return, many of us having taken the path to Sirius, in the next solar system and have to have a relationship with the cosmic physical plane, it will be for redemptive purposes and not because we are in any way trapped by the cosmic physical plane. Anyway, DK says, yes, the relation of the 9 and 4 can be seen by referring to the chart, and this we have done. Okay. Oh, my goodness, I've been talking. Uh-oh. It's time now. I'm sorry. It's time for our great invocation. Because already 58 minutes have elapsed, and I don't want to get into that strange position. So this is the number EAA 15, June, 28 June, 29 June, 11. All right, let us have the great invocation then, and we will continue. Unfortunately, I cannot continue immediately while I'm warmed up because of the technical problems involved in making this available to Mac viewers, but maybe a situation can be worked out, maybe with two computers, I don't know. Anyway, for the moment, let us see the great invocation, and, okay. Oh, from the point of light within the mind of God, and we'll go together. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men, let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men, may Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. We will be moving on, I think, to number 17. I guess this is number 16. We will be continuing with the creative hierarchies. We will certainly be on that for quite a while. Quite a while. So, okay, I'll be back to you as soon as I can, and I hope this is useful to you, and we will proceed. Many blessings. We'll see you soon.